For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Pittsburgh, make some noise!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Los Angeles Rams select Ty Simpson.
Okay, wow.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, actor Phil Dunster. NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're back from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Everybody, fun times at the NFL draft. We're chopping it up throughout the first hour of this program with Daniel Jeremiah. The Overreaction Monday post NFL draft podcast is on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. For you to take in. Greg Olson of Fox Sports is going to join us in hour number three on that. We're going to hit the NBA playoffs in short order. Chris Brockman's baseball team fired their manager over the weekend after winning by 16 runs, which is fascinating. And have won two in a row since then. So it's all good. And so long story short, there's still lots to talk about. And with you as well, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The actor Phil Dunster, who is on the hit HBO show that we talked about with John C. McGinley a couple weeks ago called Rooster. He also is famously in Ted Lasso as Jamie Tart. Yes. And so we're going to be having him come out in about 20 minutes time and chop it up with him.
Let's go.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Without a doubt, the top story of the NFL draft, despite, let me do the math, there's 13 picks taken, 257 picks overall, despite, 244 picks after Ty Simpson. 244 picks happened after Ty Simpson. And we're still talking about Ty Simpson. And he's taken 13 overall by an L.A. Rams team that has the MVP quarterback of last year's campaign and
Super Bowl favorites right now.
38 years old, window closing slowly but surely. He can bash that thing open for as long as he wants, depending on his play. But 13th overall, you could get yourself, as Chris pointed out on the Overreaction Monday podcast, Reuben Bain sitting there for your defensive line. There's Mekhi Lemon for your wide receiver room, just to name two. And was Ty Simpson on anyone else's radar screen? We will never know. Could have stuck there and picked somebody, could have even traded down, get some more picks to use and still get your guy at some point. Although one never knows. At all. I remember when Jahmyr Gibbs went off the board to the Lions at 12, and I was like, what are you doing? You could have had that guy later on. Then we find out half the NFL was upset that the Lions beat them to the punch.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting for those stories about Simpson.
Well, and, you know, the bottom line is we're going to wait for a while. We're going to wait for a while. And the conversation we had on Friday, when that happened, I'll tell you what. I didn't think the conversation Thursday night into Friday night and into Saturday would be about this pick happening over Sean McVay's wishes. Based on the body language and his very clipped demeanor on Thursday night at the press conference with him and Les afterward, and how it was very uncharacteristic of Sean McVay not to be bouncing off the walls excited about something. Didn't think that was the case at all. And everything I've heard since then, as also confirmed by other people's reporting, is these two are completely lockstep on the same page, and that Ty Simpson is, in fact, a kid who not only can run the offense of McVay and Les Snead based on what they have seen in just 15 starts, but he also has a brain that is locked into the way McVay thinks, not just offensively, but ability to assimilate, remember, regurgitate, and execute. And they love him. The only thing is if you show them how much you love him, there's a guy sitting in Malibu coming home from his girls flag football practice. I don't know if you saw that video of Matthew's coaching his daughter's flag football team.
He was doing that on draft day?
I don't know if it was on draft day, but it's all kinds of adorable and you should seek it out.
Okay.
Good coaching.
That he might be like, what?
Yeah.
What? So they're walking a fine line of being excited for the future and starting a clock that I didn't know if the Rams, you know, needed to start ticking so publicly. Even though it's ticking. Father time, as you know, gets everybody.
Right.
So that's the backup here to McVay showing up to the Friday press conference and talking about the elephant in the room while sitting next to Les Snead.
What do you guys think? Am I angry right now? I will say this, though. The one thing that would never be doubted is, you know, we couldn't be in more lockstep in every decision that we make. And I think it's, I get my demeanor last night. You know, always want to be mindful of, all right, how things come off, things like that. Very excited about last night, very excited about today. And couldn't be more excited about us continuing to lead together. But every decision that we make is collective and collaborative. And so, for any of the questions or misunderstandings just based on my demeanor or disposition last night, I did want to get that out of the way. This is my buddy right here. Right? So I did. That was brought to my attention because I got so many texts, and that was never my intended way to be able to come off. But sometimes I can be a little grumpy, you know?
No, this does not pass the sniff test.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you everything that I'm hearing is that it passes the sniff test, and that is exactly what had happened. And there might be a long time between now and the time that Simpson gets on the field, and we could be talking about it as much as we will. And the thing is, one of the many reasons why it stands out, do you know the last time a team had the reigning MVP quarterback and drafted a quarterback the next year in the first round? I'll give you the answer because you won't know it. The 1967 Green Bay Packers.
That's literally what I was going to say. The Packers, okay, when they...
Very good. Yeah. After 33-year-old Bart Starr won it. The 1967 draft, 25th overall, they took Don Horn out of San Diego State.
Oh, yes. Don Horn.
And let me see. Let me get this correct. Completely he wound up starting no games the first 2 years and started seven games. And then in 1971, wound up on the Broncos. So. And Rams fans will sit here and they might be pissed, but you have reached the unless and Sean, we trust phase. Patriots fans had to reach that early on with the Lawyer Malloy stuff with Bill. Hey, and Bill, we got to trust.
Questionable moves at the time.
And, you know, this is a rarity, as I mentioned, to see. And we talk about the small sample size of Ty Simpson's Alabama career, 15 starts. If this matters to you at all, okay? If this matters to you at all, Ty Simpson had the fourth lowest interception percentage in a season among quarterbacks in current Power Four schools since 2015. The other four guys, all right, on this list, he's fourth. Number five is Joe Burrow of 1.1% of interceptions thrown compared to everything else in his 2019 season. The only ones with a better percentage is 1%, both Dak in 2015 and Caleb Williams in 2022. And the best is 0.6% thrown by the 2023 Bo Nix. It translates. Is what I'm saying in this one small stat that you're like, oh, you could choose anything you want for a stat, but. And the one person that can help Matthew Stafford the most, the Rams have acquired in Trent McDuffie using the 29th overall selection. I know I'm painting a rosy picture, but they don't need Ty Simpson now, and they don't need him down the road. You and I had a robust conversation about this on the Overreaction Monday podcast where I can totally get it, where folks are like, why in the hell are you not choosing somebody for a five-year contract that can help you for a long time, even after Matthew Stafford's gone? Why are you not choosing that player right now who can help Stafford win it, put the trophy in the case? You're not starting a clock so publicly about when are you done, Matthew, because we got somebody sitting here waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
You're not pissing off your MVP quarterback if you're or risking that. You're also not trading down to get the guy who apparently nobody else was coming up to go get unless they were. You can't guarantee that. And why are you doing all that? On the flip side, you can also, with Trent McDuffie, get short fields or even an early lead for Matthew before he even takes a snap. You can also take a look at the rest of their draft and see who's going to even crack the lineup for a head coach who hardly plays rookies. So whoever's drafted 13th overall wasn't necessarily going to get out there anyway. But that's also not always the case. Jared Verse being a defensive rookie of the year is a perfect example. And Les is known for drafting some terrific players in a draft. So there's all of that. And on the flip side, though, is they could still win a trophy or plural with Stafford. And then you got this guy ready and you're talking about Ty Simpson being terrific for 10 years to come after that. And we're talking about the Rams like they're the new Packers. Oh, so you go from Goff to Stafford. That's multiple Super Bowls, although one not one with Goff, but one's one with Stafford. And now you got another kid for years to come. And McVay and Les are lockstep and crushing it. I don't know which one. That's a what's more likely question. But both of them are entirely reasonable to bring about. No doubt about it. But McVay's showing up. We're buddies.
Yeah, I'm curious, too, if McVay, and this is going to sound, I don't mean it to sound this way, but can he develop a quarterback? Because Ty Simpson is going to be a developmental type player with probably only having played one season in 5, 6, 7 years before he gets a chance to play, if he does, with the Rams. You know, he inherited Jared Goff.
Yeah, but he developed him, bud.
He immediately traded him.
No, he didn't immediately trade him.
They went to the Super Bowl, and then he was like, see you later, and then got Matthew Stafford, an established guy with a Hall of Fame trajectory. So, you know, I'm just curious on you know, how Simpson's development is going to go under McVay.
Well, we might not find out for a while.
Which makes the pick that much more confusing.
I don't think it's as terrible as it's made out to be, and I don't, you know, Mike Greenberg called it, what, one of the worst he's ever seen, you know?
Yeah, I think
we don't know.
I think he was onto it.
We don't know.
Yeah.
In the same way, it's going to be a while till we find out. Let's see what the Rams do without the use of a 13th overall pick helping. And then we'll see what he develops after that. But in the meantime, it does not appear that a town with a plaque or a signpost missing for Mo Green, and who created it, does not feel that decision has infringed upon the Rams' chances of winning the Super Bowl, correct?
Oh. No, they're the favorites right now. Okay. It's 7-1. Seattle right behind them, plus 950. Buffalo, 10-1. Ravens, 11-1.
Trevor in San Diego. Did I answer your question before I popped you on the air? Trevor?
A little bit, but not quite, because my question is, you were one of the most critical of the Falcons' Penix pick.
Yes.
And I just don't see how this is any better than that.
Well, especially the Penix pick,
you got a quarterback coming off an MVP season.
Sure.
As opposed to a quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. Seems like they needed insurance more than the Rams do.
Well, they signed Kirk Cousins to a massive deal, right? And so clearly, I did push against them by saying you're supposed to win with this guy right now. Their plan was they signed him and then went ahead and drafted the kid. Stafford is somebody who's coming back, has already been there, and is much older than, you know, Cousins at the time, right? 38. That's why. I mean, it's a bit different when you sign somebody and then switch midstream, as opposed to we're here and I'm bringing the kid in right now. You understand? Like you've got a plan for the future. Certainly when you've also got the 29th overall pick, and the Rams are also a better team than the Falcons. They could easily handle it more than the Falcons. Does that make sense? Or it's fine,
yeah,
if you don't.
That makes sense. Yeah, like I said, I remember you being critical of the Penix pick, and it just doesn't compute to me that this makes that much more sense. You needed insurance for your 35-year-old off an Achilles tear more than you need insurance for your reigning MVP.
Cousins is 1 year younger than Stafford, so it's not too far off. I want to correct myself on that one. I mean, it's the same church, but it's a totally different pew. It's a totally different pew. Thanks for the call, Trevor. I appreciate people listening and taking this in and hearing what I have to say one over the other.
Rich, your words have power. Okay.
Right.
Just saying.
Do you think the Falcons were so established and ready to roll that they could pass on somebody to help Cousins and get something going?
No, I think
that one I thought was...
I think everyone thought it was going to be maybe either later in the first round or just later on in that draft,
right?
Not eighth overall.
They put a cart before the horse, well before the horse was Super Bowl worthy.
Yeah, this feels more to me,
it's different,
like Green Bay taking Love, which we all were kind of like, what? And even Aaron Rodgers was like, what?
Right.
And at least it seems like the Rams gave Stafford a heads up.
But the difference was the Rams did this after Stafford won an MVP, and the Packers did it, and Rodgers then won two after that.
But he had still had two before.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, this strikes me as more like the Love
move. We're all in the same. Listen, it's all part of the when do you make this move for your future? How do you create an end game for your quarterback?
What was Green?
That is good for everyone. Not everyone can stroll off like Elway.
Nope.
Not everyone can do that, where it's just like, I got mine, I'm done.
Green Bay,
see
though, when Green Bay took Love, were they Super Bowl favorites going into that year? I don't think so. In 2020, I don't believe so.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on our program. Phil Dunster about to come up, but just want to let you know that PayPal is proud to be the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL. When fans come together on game day, PayPal makes it easier to split ticket costs, cover tailgate supplies, parking, or even food. It's a simple way to settle up so fans can stay focused on the moments that matter. The NFL brings people together, and PayPal helps make paying each other feel easy from kickoff to the final whistle. Download the PayPal app to get started. Account with PayPal is required. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So much to talk about with the draft, but we're going to just call a timeout on that situation for the moment and talk about a terrific show on HBO called Rooster. One of the stars, Phil Dunster, who you might remember from back in the day on Ted Lasso, is coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app and share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required. Not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Rich Eisen here. I've traveled all over for some of the biggest NFL moments you can imagine. Conference championships, Super Bowls, draft weekends, and everywhere I go, the city just feels different. It's buzzing, packed, electric. Now, take that energy and multiply it by the entire world. That's what's coming this summer with the FIFA World Cup. Fans from every corner of the globe are going to be traveling to experience it live. And when that many people come to town, they're all looking for a place to stay. And that got me thinking. If you live in or near a host city, this is one of those rare moments. You already have a space. This summer, you could list your space on Airbnb while fans are in town for the FIFA World Cup. Not as a full-time thing. Not as some huge lifestyle change. Just during an event when demand is naturally high. When I travel for big games, I just want a comfortable place in a real neighborhood. And that's exactly what so many visiting fans will be looking for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. We're on the Rich Eisen Show radio outfit right now. We just saw a clip of Rooster airing Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO. Phil Dunster, who plays the character of Archie in this. And we see Steve Carell strolling through the campus. Where is this? Where is this campus? Is it here in Southern California?
The campus is actually, I don't know if it's University of the Pacific in Stockton.
Ah. Okay.
It's lovely. It's beautiful.
So it's a real campus and there's real students strolling around and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They very kindly let us film there because they are, I think it's quite a rarity in California, so I believe that it looks a bit like it could be an East Coast college.
It does look like a liberal arts college in the state of Connecticut.
There you go.
It's what it does look like to
me. What's crazy is that obviously you don't have the seasons quite so much here on the West Coast.
That would be
right?
Correct. I can confirm that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so the leaves, they've had to clip all of, when in the show, if you see any leaves that are not green, they've gone and clipped all of those on.
Come on.
Seriously. And if they need them to not have it, they go post-production, they paint all of the leaves out so that it's, you might even see, if you can see the image that's just come up, there's some orange leaves in the background and it's...
And they're clipped on, so there's somebody on the staff whose job is to clip colored leaves onto actual trees.
Yeah, it's all a beautiful machine that's whirring away.
How about that?
Yeah, it's crazy. That detail, but it was a very beautiful place to go.
Well, I mean, it's a Bill Lawrence program, Matt Tarsis as well, creating it. And so it's not your first Bill Lawrence foray as well, because he was the one who put together Ted Lasso as well, correct?
Alongside Jason and Joe and Brendan. Yeah, they were the masterminds.
And you could see it's a very similar feel to the show to Ted Lasso as well. Like you're seeing some of those nice warm moments to sort of wrap up a show that's otherwise, in comedy as well as some seriousness. It's a nice blend of everything.
Yeah, I think the thing that the sort of fabric of Bill's shows tend to be that you have fairly reprehensible people doing very relatable characters doing fairly reprehensible things in quite mad scenarios.
Yes.
And so I think we relate to them because we go, I can see that they're trying to be better, but they are also being idiots, at times. And you go, oh, that's me. Yeah, that's me. I definitely do that. And I think that there is also that warmth, there's a real sort of... that's that sort of trademark warmth that he has in his shows. And we see it also in Shrinking, which is out at the minute as well.
That's absolutely
sort of incredibly funny and also not afraid to sort of go toe the line a little bit with some more spicy humor.
Right.
I mean, my character is a Russian studies professor. And so I thought that's going to be, a little close to the bone at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill was like, we'll just keep it light. we'll just keep it light. And you're like, in light of what's going on in the minute, it's incredible that he does. The writers do.
Well, I mean, you're also, your behavior on the program kind of takes away from the academia portion of your character.
Sure.
You know, and what's going on with, you know, Rooster's daughter, who is, you know, your wife on the program, and you cheat on her and you knock up a student, right? I mean, I'm not telling any tales out of school right here.
No. Sure, it's true.
And then just in the recent weeks, you're going back and forth between both ladies, and you're trying to figure out, do you want to be a dad? Do you want to be a husband? Can you be both? And can you be good for either one of them?
Yeah.
Am I picking up on
that? That's absolutely right.
Okay.
And what's funny is that the fun thing to do when you have these sort of debauched characters is looking for reasons why they might actually be good people, or that you can understand what legitimizes in their mind why it is that they do it. Because you sort of think from an external perspective, you look at that and go, he must just know that he's a bit of a douche, surely. but he's there going, well, she loves me and she loves me, and I really enjoy boinking both of them. So why not?
Yes.
Because it makes total sense.
And your female students love you, and everyone's kind of loves you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she is, as he makes pains to make clear, that Sunny is a postgrad student. Mm-hmm. She may be a student, but she's a postgraduate student.
Makes sense. Let's make sure about that. And interesting, I mean, that you would say that, because your character, Jamie Tart, goes through such a journey in the history of Ted Lasso. It is one of my favorite parts of the show because, you know, you are easy to hate, but wondering, like, what would happen to your character, and you do come around at the very end. And the scene in Amsterdam where you're riding bicycles with Brett Goldstein, who is, you know, obviously Roy Kent. That's one of the more beautiful aspects of the program. Your Jamie Tart's relationship with his dad, and the way that Ted's still there for you, even though you jilted the team.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You know,
well, it's sort of in your appraisal there. You sort of listed all of those, the journey that he goes on in a really good, clear way, and that those are all the things that are happening to him. So as an actor, you just need to go, just respond to that. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there's something amazing about the gift of playing a footballer, because there's not a huge amount of TV shows. There are TV shows out there about football, soccer. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. You don't have to just Americanize us. We're good.
Subtitles come.
It's all good. No, you bet.
There's not a huge amount of TV shows about them, because they are almost beyond satire, because their lives are so extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really, really fun. I see footballers as sort of sports performers, athletes, as these kind of modern day gladiators, in a sense.
Right.
That they live and die by their performances. They turn up to work and they've got 40, 50, 60,000 people screaming their name, booing them if they get it wrong. It is so visceral. And so to have that experience for your vocation, and then to also have a personal life alongside that, must be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really fun having the sort of the extremities of being a footballer, and then also having, but what happens when it's like, you know, I mean, far be it from me to, you know, make the comparison, but in the way that you would see Sopranos, you see Tony Soprano, he's a mob boss, but then he's also in therapy.
Yes.
The sort of domestic with the vocational, you know, you're extrapolating something of that in the madness of being on a football pitch, and then also trying to negotiate a personal relationship where you might actually be getting things wrong and you have to apologize and take responsibility. That drama, that tension between those two spaces is really fun to do.
And you're a fan of which team and which side in real life?
AFC Wimbledon.
AFC Wimbledon, which is the Wimbledon version of AFC Richmond, would you say?
They don't quite have the same funding as AFC Richmond,
okay,
unfortunately.
Well, at the very beginning, where we find AFC Richmond, at the very beginning of Ted Lasso.
So Wimbledon FC were a Division I Premier League side.
Yes.
Way back when, this is sort of, you know, they went into administration around 2000, 2002, I think it was.
Right.
And then they got bought by a franchise. We don't really have the franchise system in the UK.
Okay.
The local community, Wimbledon community, said, we're not going to support this new team. They who shall not be named. You can Google it if you want, guys.
Okay.
And so they created their own team, AFC Wimbledon. And so it's a Phoenix club. Amazingly, the Wimbledon FC emblem was always a phoenix, and now AFC Wimbledon, this phoenix club, also has the same same emblem. And they have worked their way up from the eighth tier of English football, and we've just maintained staying in League One, which is the third tier, after 24 years.
Okay, and this is for, again, for those who may not be familiar, the same Wimbledon as the tennis club, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the part of London you hail from?
That's not where I hail from. Okay. But I'm...
So how'd you find AFC Wimbledon?
Just loved the story of it, really. And I was more of a rugby player when I was younger.
Okay.
I much preferred rugby. And so I then sort of came to football a little bit late. I'm a born-again football supporter, I suppose. I liked it a bit. And I was just sort of looking for a club. My best mate is an Arsenal supporter, so I sort of by proxy have a Premier League side. So when
Jamie Tart goes to Man City,
yeah,
was that an issue? Because isn't Arsenal and Man City locked in?
They are now,
present right now. Like we just named one of the two. One would think Premier League champions.
Do you think?
You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it feels that way. The tide has turned that way very much. But no, I mean, listen, we worked with Pep Guardiola
for
Ted
Lasso.
Yeah, and he came on and it was incredible. A lot of the extras who were in the stadium at the Etihad, Man City Stadium, were Man City fans. And when Pep walked into the stadium, everyone rose to their feet and applauded him. It was quite an amazing sort of messianic moment. And he was very generous with his time. Very, you know, he was just a real. He has this thing with players where when he's very physical with them.
Mm-hmm.
He's very emotive, and we had a moment. Jamie and him have a moment, and he whispers something in his ear. And Pep has this thing where he slaps players, like really slaps them on the chest,
mm-hmm.
as a sort of, I think, a sort of sign of sort of paternal love, or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And he slapped me on the chest, and it was the greatest thing.
Are you serious? That's amazing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Did he ever coach you up specifically? Like to
absolutely
say-
not. No, he wouldn't have wasted his time with that.
Ah.
But he just had a moment. He just had a moment, and he was, you know, he was basically said to Jason Sudeikis, who was sort of, you know, working with him on what to do.
Yeah.
Pep was just like, just tell me what to say, man. I'll do whatever you want. And he was great.
Oh, man. Did you, I mean, improve as a footballer? Did you do, like how did you get better? I mean, I didn't look at you. I'm like, yeah, I don't believe this guy.
Oh, that's good.
No, you were fearful of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't think that at all.
We did do some training. I'd see it as right. more as choreography.
Sure.
I thought of it more as choreography. But the funny thing with it is that unlike a dance where the variables are your feet and space and time and
yes.
your partner you're dancing with a football, of course, it has, you know, the football is spinning and, you know, it's the grass is bobbling over the grass. There are so many variables with it. It
yes.
makes it so hard. So really, we just tried to focus on, you know, us moving to certain areas of the pitch and hoping that the ball followed us.
Right.
But the problem was then, I think that they cut it together so well. So they made us look like we were really good.
Uh-huh.
So that I would then go and play a five-a-side with my mates and we would get absolutely hammered. And someone would come up to me afterwards and be like, aren't you Jamie Tart? And I'm there dripping in sweat, having just lost 6-0. And I'm like, shut up. Don't look at me.
What's your favorite scene that you were involved in Ted Lasso?
Ted, I think it's probably the bicycle scene with Brett. I mean, I just loved that so much because it was also, it would have been the most amazing week in Amsterdam. And it was at the culmination of Jamie's storyline. And Brett and I had this sort of quasi love affair during the filming of the show, and it was just a really special time. And also, it had just been a really great episode to film that. And there were loads. There was any time that Jason had a speech, like a TED speech, was a really special time. And
well, the scene where the Believe sign rips,
right,
and the whole side team squad thinks we're done,
yeah,
we're toast, and that speech that comes right after that, spectacular.
Yeah.
And spectacular.
There's a lot of reverence, when he was doing those speeches, and you all want to make sure you get it right. You know, we've all got our small parts in that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful kind of, I don't know, sort of allegory of us wanting just to serve the piece so that this moment can have space to breathe and that Jason has the platform to be able to do this, that Ted can say these things. Because we know what it means to us, we know what it would mean to these players, and we know what it means to the audience. So we wanted to really, if you feel it, you really feel, and certainly by season three, when we were aware of the sort of impact or I don't know, the sort of ripples it had had mm-hmm. in the world a little bit. Not that you really try and let that in, but you just sort of, you know that the stakes are certain, somewhat higher, that it means something to people and you mm-hmm. want to make sure you get it right. So yeah, there were cool moments, yeah.
Well, pardon me for asking, but is Rooster preventing you from the new season of Ted Lasso?
No. That's just, they are doing a new, it's the backroom staff is very mm-hmm. similar, but there's a new team on Ted.
Okay.
And my wife is actually directing some of the new season. Amazing. And so I have a sort of, I'm riding shotgun on her experience of it because I just want to stay near to it. But it's very much, it's been an amazing thing. It changed my life, the show. And now, you know, she's got her own experience with it. It's just a really special thing to feel.
That's so cool. Involved with that it. Must and be really great for you.
It is great. And also I get to see the show and the show's still brilliant. And the new cast are so good. So, so good. And I think that, you know, it's going to be an amazing thing in that it's going to have so many of those same hallmarks that people love of the show, but mm-hmm. it's just got new, fresh blood and they're all brilliant. It's going to be great.
So no Jamie Tart cameos, no nothing. I don't know. Okay. I don't want to get into it. I shouldn't. Did I just tread on, I need to tread more lightly. Talk about Rooster, Rich. All right. Is there any similarities between Steve Carell and Sudeikis? You got anything on that front? Just from your own, obviously their own two brilliant, you know, comic actors and serious actors all in the same body.
Yes.
Right? So.
Yes, those are two. I'm going to steal those.
Okay.
Say those. All right. My answers.
Please.
They both have this really lovely quality where they are two people who have made a career out of being really funny
mm-hmm.
and that people look to them to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're on set with them, they are the first people to laugh at other people's jokes. And I think that what I mean by that is they have the humility of going like, I want to platform you guys of, you know, to give you the space to be funny and to, you know, that this is your set as well as mine. And, that they have those similarities and they're good leaders of the cast. You know, they, you know, set an example.
So they pass instead of scoring.
That's good. God, he's good, isn't it?
Believe, Phil, believe. Come on now.
That's right.
There it is.
Get me nominated.
It's great to have you here, man.
Thank you for having me.
I'm a big fan. Big fan of everything you're doing. I think it's really neat. My wife sits in this chair when I'm not hosting. She's also the producer and co-host of a Women's Sports Now program that we're producing here. And I bring that up by saying to work with and share something work-wise with your wife is something that I cherish. And I think it's really neat that that's happening with you right now.
100%.
And so I'll keep an eye for the credits for the next season of Ted Lasso. But in the meantime, congrats on Rooster.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing where this season goes. And you've already been renewed for season two. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Phil Dunster right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with your phone calls and more as we take a look at the rest of the weekend in sports when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
Todd Archer is reporting that Pickens has not signed his tender yet.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on here? I thought it was done.
I don't know. What?
He can't get traded unless he signs the tender.
Right.
And he can't play unless he signs the tender. So I don't know what it's about.
There is less pie.
That part.
Because they could sign him to the tender and say, we're signing him to a long-term deal. But you can't do that after June 15th. Ooh. All right. So anybody's wondering, what's this all about? I have no idea. It can also be that Pickens is like on vacation.
Exactly.
That's although I did sign my first NFL Network contract while I was on my honeymoon from Venice and faxed it in.
Yeah.
I mean,
while Susie napped. I'll never forget that. I signed it. I'm like, there's my wife. She's napping on her honeymoon. There's Venice out there.
What a time.
What life is amazing. I mean, life is amazing. And then I'm like, how do I say, because she was the one who could speak fluent Italian. And I'm like, how do I say to, you know, the person that, you know, Luigi at the front desk, I need to fax something.
First of all,
Steve Bornstein. Like,
what's his name? Luigi?
I don't know. I'm just shorthanding it. You know what I mean?
DocuSign exists.
DocuSign exists. That's true now. My bad. My bad.
DocuSign.
That's true.
It's over.
You can do that.
Like, you didn't even need to do that.
There's a way to electronically do it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come, Chris, I'm trying to come up with stuff.
I mean, I don't know. Get out of
here. Or the most likely scenario is we keep the Cowboys name in the news because that's what.
Oh, so Jerry is telling him not to sign it so we can be in the Monday headlines?
Would it surprise you?
No. I don't know.
Maybe. I thought this was a done deal, guys.
I think.
I mean, we're just coming up with one reason after another.
Else you want to know?
Yeah, I know. What else do you want to know?
What else you want to know?
Well,
I don't know. And Stephen Jones saying he's playing on the tender means he's playing on the tender, or that's a negotiating position.
What's up, Trevor?
And if they do want to trade him, they might be like, we don't want to go to that team, so we're not being traded until we sign this thing, so find the team we want. Ugh. And the team that we want isn't going to be signing my guy to a contract that's long-term to our liking, so we're not signing the tender. Or he just can't find a pen. I have no idea.
He's smoking something over there this morning.
We need Jack Klompas. Take the pen.
Take the pen. I don't have an answer.
Writes upside down.
But it's something that's notable.
Get your damn act together.
Yeah, I don't like this right now.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in Ohio.
Hey. Oh,
yeah.
Hey,
oh,
David.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Hey.
What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I got two comments. First, I got to meet Chris Brockman and T.J. Jefferson in Pittsburgh over the weekend.
Yep.
It was so great. They were so nice.
There he is.
Did a little hot. What's that?
We got a picture of you. I got a picture of you up on the screen.
I sent it to Chris, and I got to meet them, did a little higher register with Chris, and that was fun. And my other comment is for TJ.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if he saw Caleb Downs going through the Cowboys facility, but do you think that maybe Jerry came in there with a Swiffer to wipe off the 30 years of dust off the trophy case there.
David.
Oh, boy.
I like David. David, we were so cool when you saw me at Permanis, man. And then you just had to go do that to me. But yeah, probably someone had to clean.
Was that your middle finger you were just flashing?
Oh,
no. I said we were so close.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wouldn't flip somebody off on camera. I mean, off camera might be different.
All right. David. Yeah. And by the way, we did hire a register on Thursday's program because of your suggestion.
Yep. Inspired by you, David.
You inspired us.
Oh. Yeah.
So don't take it the wrong way when I say, this has been a pretty good phone call.
David, you, David went kind of higher register when he saw me in Permanis.
Yeah.
He was like, TJ Jefferson. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Hey, David.
Hey, Rich, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
Okay. Do you want to know the higher register I gave to Chris?
Give it to me.
I went up to him. I said, hey, Chris, you look pretty good without hair.
David in Ohio, everybody.
Oh, I had to take a shot.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Call back. There's David. I love that.
It was fun.
I love that. So he's a Steeler fan living in Ohio?
Yes.
Okay.
That's rough.
Just like Ben Roethlisberger.
That was a heck of a moment, too, because I've told you, Chris, the amount of times I've been at that Permane Brothers, my friend's a manager there, so to get recognized there of all places.
It was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
And we had a great lunch. Fantastic.
Doubt. Shout out to Missy Chuck.
Jealous.
We're so close. Now the schedule's about to get released.
Oh, woo! Man.
I think in a couple weeks.
17.
I know Vinny's already blowing us up about he wants to know what the Jets schedule is.
Oh, Pasquantino, right? He wants to know because the Jets are coming to Nashville, where I believe he
and
makes
Kansas
his off-field, off-season home, and Kansas City, where he makes his in-season home.
He wants to make sure it's after the baseball season.
I hate this team.
Well, that maybe not anymore. I mean,
kid's back.
Oh, fine. Vinny's like back. I mean,
Jets
they nailed the
Jets are crushing.
They got
it right
some
now.
Four. They got four really good football
really good players
in the 50 picks, and we'll see the other ones. Really good players.
It's all up to Gino.
Yeah.
Oh, please. It has nothing to do with this year.
No.
Well, nothing to do with this year.
It's literally every year.
What's more likely?
They haven't had a quarterback.
Gino's going to find a late career a la Stafford and Rodgers and
Rich
Brady.
Cannon, no.
And I know I'm naming some names. He's going to find a late career fountain of youth and be the Darnold of this situation. Or the next quarterback is in next year's draft.
Yeah.
And this team slowly but surely builds. And Aaron Glenn is the man to do it. I mean, I don't know what the what's more likely is. It's crazier things have happened.
Or David Bailey gets traded in 3 years.
Okay, this guy.
Why? History tells me that's what's going to happen.
I mean, he's got a little.
Listen, this is you are not off in the fact that year in and year out, Jet fans think this is it. This is it. Either their year or this is the year that the drafted players coalesce and they begin to build and become a juggernaut. And we're waiting.
Yeah.
And David Bailey and Kenyon Sadiq and Omar Cooper are now the I guess, what would you say, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and Jermaine Johnson of the moment. And Sauce Gardner and Jermaine Johnson aren't there anymore. And
neither is Quinnen.
And Quinnen Williams year before, but those picks are now turning into the three I just mentioned and the three more that are next year. And if that happens, they're the first team to have three first-round picks in consecutive drafts. And if the GM's the right guy to do it and they start building this thing up the right way, then this is finally the rebuild that ends all previous rebuilds. This is the rebuild that ends the rebuilding. This is the building.
Sound like Sixer fans.
The process.
Never trust the process. I'm telling you right now.
I understand that.
Peyton Pritchard just hit another
thing. Oh, I hate that
this
guy.
This is the reality of the situation with the Jets, but good for Vinny. Vinny Pasquantino is the avatar of Jet fans saying, they nailed it, and I'm into this rebuild.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.